this point where the voice is so poised and perfect that nothing else needs to be done. It's just rolling, and then he could sing his music through it. Although, don't be fooled into thinking that he didn't have occasional fear. I saw it one day when he had to do a concert for the students. I mean, not terrible, not shameful fear, normal fear. Mm. That feeling of, oh gosh, I mean, I'm a very powerful, excellent singer, which he was. He's amazing. But here I am telling all these people what to do, and now I've got to sing for them. And still I noticed that it was clear that part of him was thinking, oh God. Because it's harder being there as the person who says, I'm the authority, I'm grand, I know all the answers, and then having to prove it. But he did. Of course he did prove it, because he was wonderful.
In Norwich, we're lucky to have you living and working here. And I know you're fully booked as a teacher, but you also perform frequently in the area. And what concerts do you have coming up locally?
Well, interestingly, recently I've been working quite a bit with a group called The Voice Project, which is a choir run by two people, John Baker and Sean Cruz. And it doesn't require people to read music. Everything's done from memory, and it's all new music. And, you know, I come in and do the solos with them, which is wonderful. They do quite a few things locally, as well as we're going down to Brighton in November as well. But they're a wonderful group to watch out for. If classical music like Schubert or whatever, that sort of that far along, is not something you're quite into yet or haven't come across that much, they're really fun, inspiring, well choreographed concerts. So that's a lovely sort of, they do a lot of things here around here, actually, a sort of series of things I'll be doing sort of into the autumn.
I think you have a performance coming up in Norwich towards the end of November.
That's right, on the 30th of November at the St Mary's Works. I think it's called the Old Shoe Factory. We're going to be doing a Voice Project concert there, which should be, again, the usual thing. They always pull stuff out of a hat that I'm not used to seeing. It's wonderful. It's a treat for me again, because having, you know, done so much solitary work, learning my Fauré and Debussy and Schubert and Strauss, and coming and working with a big group of people and a group of soloists as well, over some periods of time as well, not just 3 hours or whatever, is a real treat. So we'll be getting that all up and running and rolling, ready for then. And they're always an enjoyable thing to come and watch. And a dramatic thing to come and watch. It's not just like, oh, I've got to be on my best behaviour to go and watch, in inverted commas, classical music. It's something you can just come along to and think, oh, I'm going to just go and live and breathe with those people for a while. I'm going to feel something different for a while. And they're going to walk me through it or sing me through it.
You must have ambitions for the future. Will we see you working as a recording artist?
Yes, I think you will. It's an interesting thing, the classical recording world, as opposed to jazz or, you know, popular music. Recording the classical voice seems to be quite an ask. And I think that's to do with the fact that you have to have, firstly, an excellent piano, and you also have to have a very good acoustic. Whereas for jazz or pop music or whatever other more informal genres, maybe, you go into a booth often, don't you? You go into a soundproof booth, and then you're put together with the accompaniment afterwards. Whereas to make a genuine piece of classical song, you have to do it live together, ideally in a good acoustic, because the voice sounds more natural and real and right if it's bouncing around walls. It's not good being dried off and then put back to itself later, you know, reverb added later. The best thing is actually a church with a Steinway. So finally, after 18 years of study and work and commitment, I've come to a place where I feel I'm ready to make a definitive recording of, and hopefully not the only one, definitive recordings of my voice and the music that I love. So that's probably going to be happening next year with a wonderful pianist I've been working with called Christopher Glynn, who's very, very pleasant chap, as well as fabulous on the piano.
Sounds exciting. We'll look forward
lovely
to hearing that. Well, finally, on a more trivial note, what would your favourite desert island disc be?
It's tricky. There's so much music I love. This is the thing. You think if you're a classical singer, oh, it's going to be straight down the line classical music. But it's not, of course, because, you know, we all of us love different types, and as it should be. So the first thing that springs to mind is Leonard Cohen, who I listened to a lot as all the way through my childhood, funnily enough. But I suppose because my mother listened to it. And I just thought, I'm not so keen on the Spice Girls. I want something that's got a bit of, you know, text. So it's interesting that I turned out to be a classical singer who works with, you know, classical songs are basically settings of excellent texts. And Leonard Cohen, in his way, of course, writes these amazing poems, doesn't he, about life, reality, living. So he would, I know, he's it's a heartbreaker, isn't he? It's gorgeous. So he would be my sort of non-classical desert island disc. The problem is when we start to put classical, it's so hard because I pick and choose, often not albums, more songs or singers or pieces, especially depending on what I'm learning at the time. So it would be, if I could name you artists, it would be people like Cecilia Bartoli, who again is a real personality as well as a great voice. Natalie Desay. Of course, Pavarotti would be in there because he's remarkable. Again, he has that ability to channel his voice right the way from the soles of his feet out through the crown chakra. You know, the whole thing resonates right through him. And there you have something that's really worth listening to. You know, it's got that alchemy you can't put your finger on. Because we don't always necessarily think Pavarotti was even necessarily the best actor. But there's something about the reality that you encounter, that kind of touching of the two hands of the gods, you know, that moment when you listen to him, that just makes you think, oh, that's it. That's what I need to hear. That's something that's vital to me.
So, and yes. I'm sure when we come and hear you sing in Norwich again, we will hear it from you.
Oh, God, I hope so. Me and Pavarotti. Oh,
so thank you very much, Lisa Cassidy.
It's my pleasure.
I had just turned 16 that season when you came up from Burma to stay. And you told me I ought to travel with you. You were sure it would be okay. When I asked how you earned your living, I can still hear what you said to me. You had some kind of job on the railway and had nothing to do with the sea. You said a lot, Johnny, or one big lie, Johnny. You cheated me blind, Johnny, from the minute we met. I hate you so, Johnny, when you stand there laughing, Johnny. Nimm die Pfeife aus dem Maul, du Hund. Surabaya, Johnny, no one's meaner than you. Surabaya, Johnny, mein Gott, und ich liebe dich so. Surabaya, Johnny, why am I feeling so blue? Du hast kein Herz, Johnny, und ich liebe dich so. At the start, every day was Sunday, till we went on our way one fine night. And before two more weeks were over, you thought nothing I did was right. So we trekked up and down through the Punjab, from the source of the river to the sea. When I look at my face in the mirror, there's an old woman staring back at me. You didn't want love, Johnny. You wanted cash, Johnny. But I saw your lips, Johnny, and that was that. You wanted it all, Johnny. I gave you more, Johnny. Take that damn pipe out of your mouth, you rat. Surabaya, Johnny, no one's meaner than you. Surabaya, Johnny, mein Gott, und ich liebe dich so. Surabaya, Johnny, why am I feeling so blue? Du hast dein Herz, Johnny, und ich liebe dich so. I would never have thought of asking how you got that peculiar name. But from one end of the coast to the other, you were known everywhere we came. And one day in a two-bit flop house, I'll wake up to the roar of the sea, and you'll leave without one word of warning on a ship waiting down at the quay. You have no heart, Johnny. Du bist ein Schuft, Johnny. How can you go, Johnny, and leave me flat? You're still my love, Johnny, like the day we met, Johnny. Take that damn pipe out of your mouth, you rat. Surabaya, Johnny. No one's meaner than you. Surabaya, Johnny. My God, I still love you so. Surabaya, Johnny. Why am I feeling so blue? Du hast dein Herz, Johnny, und ich liebe dich so.
Becky was talking to Lisa Cassidy. For more information, visit her at www.lisacassidy, or one word, and that's CASSIDY.org, and you can keep up with her news through her mailing list at www.lisacassidy.org/calendar. Lisa is performing in Norwich with The Voice Project on the 30th of November in And Is This a Dream? This is a special performance devised for the amazing space at the Shoe Factory, St Mary's Work, Norwich. It's the first episode in a series of linked performances that The Voice Project are going to be making over the next couple of years. At The Voice Project, singers don't learn or perform through reading music off the page. They learn and perform using memory rather than sight. You can find more information at www.voiceproject.co.uk, and details of bursaries are available on request by email to ian@voiceproject.co.uk, and Ian is spelled IAIN.